You can actually carve up the vehicles in different ways. A vehicle is that which has a base, a path, and a fruit. You start somewhere, you do something, and you get somewhere. But for instance, in the tradition that Trungpa Rinpoche taught here, we had Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana. Small vehicle, great vehicle, and indestructible vehicle. The same sort of body is divided 9 ways in the Nyingma school. You have 2 vehicles in what Trungpa Rinpoche called the Hinayana. You have the Mahayana, and then you have 6 vehicles in what Trungpa Rinpoche called the Vajrayana. So cut up, sliced in a different pattern. This weekend we're going to be working from a Dzogchen division of the yanas, which is Sutra, Tantra, Dzogchen. Sutra comprises Hinayana and Mahayana, and what Trungpa Rinpoche called Vajrayana is both Tantra and Dzogchen. So this is the division, Sutra, Tantra, Dzogchen. You can apply this sort of threefold logic of base, path, fruit. You can find it in anything you do. It's actually a wonderful way of considering any problem, anything you want to think about, anything you want to do. You can structure talks with it, which is how I was trained. It's called threefold logic, brown path and fruition. If you want to consider an issue, consider a problem, okay, what's the ground? Where does it start? Then what happens? And where does this wind up? So nothing that we're talking about here is not available in our experience. There's nothing that you have to go somewhere else outside of your experience as a human being to get. So the public face of Buddhism in the West, what most people think of when they think of Buddhism, is what we call sutra, or sutrayana. I was just looking at a magazine out there called Buddha Dharma that's sort of on, supposed to be for practitioners, and it was all sutrayana, every page of it. That's what most people know of Buddhism. Sutrayana, the base, is what Rinpoche calls an experientially common base. In other words, it's very easy for us to come to the base of Sutrayana. The base is suspicion of samsara. Does everyone know what that word means, samsara? Anybody not know what samsara means? Samsara means we keep trying to get satisfaction out of life. And it's a wheel. It's always, the word means wheel, both in Tibetan and Sanskrit. And we keep getting just this far, and there's just that much more than we have it, and we can never cross that last inch. So we think we get it, we get what we want, and then the next thing opens up. And oh, but actually then I also need that. And the base of sutrayana is when one becomes suspicious of that. When one thinks, maybe this doesn't work. Maybe I'm not going to get, maybe no matter what I do, I'm never going to fill that last inch. So Rinpoche often says that one needs to be successful at samsara before one can become a practitioner of Buddhism. By which I understand, it doesn't mean one has to be a successful person in, the way we define it, but one has to have gotten what one wanted enough times to start to wonder if that was exactly the point. The path from that base utilizes the principle of renunciation. Another way of defining the yanas is in terms of principle and function. Principle of renunciation. Having found that form is trickier than we thought it was, we then renounce form and turn towards emptiness. One becomes a monk or a nun, ideally. The ideal practitioner in Sutrayana is a renunciate. One shaves one's head. One is told what to wear. One has 250 zillion vows to maintain at all hours of the day and night. You have no control over what you eat. You live communally. You are as much as possible exactly the same as everyone else. All of the possibilities of manipulation of form are renounced. And the fruit of that practice is the experience of emptiness. So, principle of renunciation, sutra. Tantra starts from the base of the experience of emptiness. So the different there's a different base for just for starters. And the experience of emptiness is less experientially common, you might say, than the experience of suspicion. But it is available in a number of ways. It's available through, if one is very intellectual, you can reason yourself to it. There's an entire body of Buddhist teachings that's about reasoning yourself to having the world completely fall apart. Is this a table? Where's the tableness in the table? And is it in the legs? Is it in the, you know, it goes on like this until you reason the world into little pieces and it disappears. If that doesn't work for you, which it didn't for me, there is sitting meditation. And the experience of emptiness that comes with enough questioning of the thought process. There's also life experience of emptiness. Every time a change happens in our lives, we experience the emptiness of that form, the empty quality of that form. One is in a relationship, and then the relationship goes away. One is a husband or a wife, and then one is not a husband or a wife. One is a parent, and then the child dies. There's a very sad, you know, story. I had to read the life of Gampopa a while back, and before he became a monk, he was a householder, had a wife and two children, who died 1, 2, 3 in a plague over a short period of time. And there's this moment in the story where after he's gone to bury that or to put out in the charnel ground the second child, it says, and he walked back up the hill, a father no more. We have these experiences all the time in our lives. I was a teenager. I am a teenager no more. The experience of emptiness is directly available even in that simple way if we see it. If we see how the form is constantly showing its empty quality. So that is the base of Tantra. The principle of Tantra is transformation. So in tantric practice, we go toward form, from emptiness toward form. Traditional tantric practice involves a lot of visualization, chanting texts, paintings. That's a very tantric object up there over the shrine, that painting. Ritual activity. And in the tradition that we particularly honor in Tantra, there was the practice of the Mahasiddhas, who used all of their life activity as practice. The Mahasiddhas were all kinds of people. There was a thief, there was a king, there was a lazy man, there was an oil manufacturer, Talopa, who was the founder of this lineage. There was a prostitute. And for each of them, their sadhana, or method of realization, was in the form of their life. The empty form, the the form qualities of emptiness. We have the emptiness qualities of form. But in Tantra, it is going towards the form qualities from the perspective of emptiness. And the fruition or the fruit of those of this jhana is the experience of the non-duality of emptiness and form, or the non-dual state. So the important thing here is sutra we renounce, tantra we transform. That the neurotic quality of who we are contains the enlightened quality of it. I mean, the vignettes really show you that, the way these things kind of go in and out of each other. You know, that if one is a space element neurotic, one is either, you know, very relaxed and open or profoundly depressed. Or maybe one goes back and forth between them. But the profound depression actually has the enlightened quality of vast open spaciousness within it. This is the tantric understanding, or the tantric principle. So you might imagine then, what is the base of Dzogchen? A guess?
Non-dualistic.
The base of Dzogchen is the experience of the non-dual state, or the non-duality of emptiness and form, which might seem extremely experientially uncommon. However, we also experience this in our lives. Rinpoche likes to talk a lot about the experience of ambivalence in our lives as the way, as pointing in this direction. And my experience of this involves donuts. There's a very nice person where I work who thinks it's a great idea every Monday morning to bring in a big pink box of donuts and put it in the kitchen. And I really like donuts. And I really shouldn't eat sugar. My mom has told me not to eat sugar, okay? But there are the donuts, and I really like donuts. This is ambivalence. And I can put myself on the side of the good person who doesn't eat donuts because their mom told her not to, or I can put myself on the side of the bad person who eats the donuts anyway. Or I can hold both of those things. And that is a tiny little cartoon painting of non-duality. Ambivalence. So we actually all have plenty of experiences of ambivalence. We actually try and wipe them out as quickly as possible because it's viciously uncomfortable. So, of course, one also practices in various ways to bring oneself to this place. But it is not, again, entirely outside the realm of human experience. The path of Dzogchen is the same as the base. And the fruit of Dzogchen is the same as the base. The most you can say about the path is that when one forgets this, one practices a method to return to it. So it's a loop. The principle is self-liberation. Self not meaning like self, me. The word in Tibetan is more like of itself. So self-liberation is of itself, it liberates itself. Also different from renunciation. I renounce the donuts. I transform the donuts. I self-liberate the donuts. Different paths.